the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday edition of the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you some beautiful music today and continue with our Saturday-only series, Where Are the Dead?, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, this series will conclude next week, so do not miss next week's program. Before we get to today's message, I do want to remind you that we will have our beautiful collection of Christmas cards available again this year. Each year, we have many, many people request these Christmas cards for sending out at Christmas. And then this year will be no different. To find out more, just write us, call us, or visit the website. We'll be happy to tell you about it. Right now, let's hear two great songs and then the message.
I've cast my heavy burdens down on Canaan's happy shore. I'm living where the healing waters flow. I'll wander in the wilderness of doubt and sin no more. I'm living where the healing waters flow. Living on the shore, I'm living on the shore.
Thank you. sing in glory redemption song. We'll pass the glorious truth along. It has never lost its power.
It will never lose its power.
It will never lose its power. The blood that cleanses from all sin will never lose its power.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Now, dear Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study today, lead us by the Spirit for Jesus' sake. Amen. I know some of you have recoiled at the terrible hellfire preaching that I've been doing for the last few days. I know that some of you have been told that a God of love would not permit such a place as an everlasting inferno of leaping blazes in which the souls of men beg for mercy forever. I know you've been told that, and I know that's taught today. And I know that many deny the existence of a literal everlasting hell. But today I want to say from the Word of God and give you the scriptures to back it up, that God could not be a just God if there is not an everlasting prison of the damned where there is suffering. Now why do I say that? Simply because 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 says this: The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. Some of you have heard another doctrine, that some are elected to go to heaven. Some are elected to go to hell. Some are predestinated to heaven, while others are predestinated to hell. And if you are elected to be saved, you'll be saved, and if you're not, you can't be saved. That is a doctrine of the devil as sure as there is a devil. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if that whosoever means what it says, then it matters not who you are, the color of your skin, your nationality. It makes no difference who you are. Whosoever believeth. The only thing in the world that'll keep you from going to heaven is the fact that you refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But if you refuse to do that, he that believeth not is condemned already. John 3:18. Now the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, or his promises some men count slightness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, not willing that one should perish. Now then let me say this reverently and humbly and in the fear of God. God Almighty has done everything that God could do to keep you out of hell. There is nothing left that God could do. Then somebody comes back with that sarcastic question. Couldn't God save me and couldn't God keep me out of hell if God wanted to? Listen, the definition of God is found in 1 John 4:8. God is love. God is love. And beloved, God made Adam and Eve free moral agents, and God gave them the right of choice. God has given you the same right. If God put handcuffs on you and blinded your eyes and put you in a prison and made you serve him, then God wouldn't be loved. God loves you, and God loves you so much that he gives you the sunshine and the air to breathe, and gives you health and strength and food and raiment. And God gives you every good gift. Every perfect gift comes from God. And through the goodness of God, God is attempting to get you to repent. The goodness of God worketh repentance. Listen, it's not the scare or the fear or the horrors of hell that should drive you to serve God. God has been so good to you, and God has been so tender and so loving and so kind that you and I ought to be glad to serve Him. We ought to be anxious to serve Him. It ought to be the desire of our heart to give Him the very best we are, because He has done so much and given so much for us. Not only does God give us the sunshine, the rain, health and strength, food and raiment, friends and everything that's good, but God so loved us that God gave Jesus, and God permitted Him to hang on the cross, and God listened to Him when He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And yet God did not rescue Him, because rescue Him God could not. If you and I should miss hell, it was absolutely imperative that Jesus die on the cross, or you and this preacher would burn in the pits of the damned. Now the Lord God has done everything that God can do to keep you out of hell. And if you go there, it won't be because God sent you there. It'll be because you wouldn't let God keep you out. Now let's go a little bit further. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. P-R-O-M-I-S-E, singular. Promise. What is the promise? The promise of God is this. Come unto Me, all ye. Let's begin a little bit further back. Wait a minute. In Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Listen, it ought to humble your heart to even think that God would offer to reason with you. Why, bless your heart, you go to see some fellas in America today, you couldn't get an audience with them to save your neck. Somebody'd meet you at the door, and you'd say, I want to see Mr. So-and-so. And they'd say, who are you? And you'd say, I'm so-and-so. Where's your card? Who sent you? Do you have an appointment? See? Huh? Am I right? Am I right? God bless you. You know I'm right. But listen, the invitation of God Almighty is wide open right now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the fat of the land. You must be willing. That's all. Just be willing. That's God's invitation. Be willing. Now then, if God that made this world, and God that put the solar system in its place, and God who runs the universe and all of the planets in the solar system above us and around us, if God is willing and anxious and ready to give you an appointment, to reason with you, to listen to you, and then praise God to wash your black heart as white as the snow, if God is willing to reason with you, that ought to break your heart, that ought to humble your spirit, that ought to make you fall on your knees right now and say, oh God, I've come to reason. I want You to forgive my sins. But wait a minute. The next thing that I want you to notice is this. He said, come unto Me, all ye, come all, that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I won't sell it to you. I won't loan it to you. I won't let you work for it. I'll give it to you. Come. What's my part? Come. What must I do? Come. Just come, that's all. Come now, and let us reason together. Come unto Me, and I will give you rest. But wait a minute. Listen what He said in John 6:37. They that come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. What a statement. What a statement. What a truth. What a blessing. What an invitation. Listen. They that come to Me, what must I do, Jesus, when I come? Just come. Just come, sinner. Come just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. Just as I am, in waiting not to rid my heart of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Come unto Me, come unto Me. Let us reason together. Come unto Me, I will give you rest. They that come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Under no circumstances, in no case, in no wise will I cast them out. Sinner, Listen, sinner, moral sinners, debased sinners, gutter sinners, terrible sinners, little sinners, big sinners, come to Jesus. He said he won't cast you out. Now, well, let me tell you something. If knowing that, you go on in your ungodliness and your sin, who do you have to blame for burning in hell but yourself? Now, this Bible has been proven. It doesn't make a bit of difference what atheists and infidels say about it. Dying mothers and daddies, boys and girls, men and women, have left the testimony that this business of Christianity is genuine. They've left the testimony on their dying beds that they're going home. They're not afraid. They have peace. They hear sweet music. They hear sweet voices. And they see the light of another city. When that great spiritual giant for God, Dwight L. Moody, died, he said, "This can't be death. This is too glorious. This cannot be death. I can't be dying. This is too glorious to be dead." And yet he was dying, and he died. Now let me tell you something. This Bible is right. Christianity has been proven. Christianity is genuine. Religion may not be, but Christianity is. Being born again through the finished work of Jesus with childlike faith in his shed blood is genuine. It's real. It's genuine, and there's no need for you to tell me that you don't believe it and you can't believe it, and somebody said this or somebody said that. Now listen. Jesus will take your broken heart and bind it up and give you joy, peace, contentment, happiness. The Bible said, "Commit your way unto me and I'll direct you back." Listen, he'll give you the necessities of life. He'll supply your food, your raiment. He'll supply your physical needs, your mental needs, your spiritual needs. He'll supply every need you have. Now, the Bible says it, and I have 22 years of experience in my own life with which to back it up. I know that salvation is real. I know that God will supply your need, physical, spiritual, and financial in every other way. I know it. I've got 22 years of experience behind me, and I know what I'm talking about. Now, listen, knowing that Jesus paid it all, knowing that it is finished, knowing that he said, "Come now and let us reason together," knowing that he will, he desires, he longs to save you, and all in the world you must do to be saved is to receive the gift of God. Receive it. Just take it. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I receive God's gift, you, now. And bless your soul, he'll save you. He'll wash your sins away. He'll take the fear of dying out of you. He'll write your name in the Lamb's book, and you'll know it. You'll know it. You'll have the witness of the Spirit in your heart, and you can sing, 'Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.' Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine." Well, now you say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. If it's that real and genuine and glorious, I want to be saved." Go on. All right, I will. Now, what's next? "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Come now. All right. Then he said, "Come unto me and I'll give you rest." All right. Then he said, "They that come to me, I will in no case, under no circumstances, in no wise will I cast them out. They come, I won't cast them out. I'll take them in." All right. Now, then Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, "Confess your sins." In other words, through the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, confess them. Didn't say write Oliver Green and tell him about your sins. Didn't say go to the priest or the preacher or the rabbi or the Sunday school teacher and tell them about your sins. It says, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from A-double-L, all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Confess your sins. Don't name them. Don't advertise them. Don't publish them. Don't spread them abroad, but tell it to Jesus. Confess your sins to Jesus. Tell Jesus that you're a sinner. Tell him you've sinned against heaven and in his sight, and you want him to forgive you and cleanse you and wash your sins away and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And praise God, he'll do it, and you'll know it. And you'll know it the very instant he does it, because you'll have peace and you'll have satisfaction in your troubled soul that your sins are gone. Now, after you confess your sin, what next? In Psalms we find these words, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, and he will direct thy path. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, God is my helper. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Listen, as it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Tribulation, distress, persecution, nakedness, famine, peril of sword?" Listen, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Come now and let us reason together. If God so loved you that God has done all that for you, if Jesus so loved you and me that Jesus died for you and me, if Jesus says, come and I will in no case turn you away, if Jesus loves me, loves you that much, if Jesus says, I will direct your path, I'll never leave you, I'll go with you all the way through the valley of the shadow of death, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. If Jesus loves us that much, then I ask you in the name of common sense, what excuse do you have for not being saved right now? Bow your head, shut your eyes, and say, dear Jesus, forgive my sin and save me for Christ's sake. And he will. And then you'll not only miss hell, but you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus who died to save us, I plead the blood that you'll save the man or the woman, the boy or the girl that's nearest hell right now. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green speaking to you again. The message is over for today, but I still have a few minutes left to tell you about our gift offer period. Gift offer for this week and next. Now, for a lot of our new listeners, I want to make sure you understand that this is not the only faith that we have to help you as a Christian or to help you come to Christ. We have many items that we have out to send you. And if you would like to have our literature brochure to list all of the things that we have, just write us, call us, or visit our website and you can get those. But right now, I want to tell you about our gift offer P containing three items, and it's available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $20 or more. Please send more as the Lord directs. If you can send $30, $50, even more, I urge you to do so, because your donations will be used to spread the gospel. But if you can send a donation of at least $20 and ask for gift offer P, I'm going to send you first a book that we compiled here at the Gospel Hour of five great sermons by my dad. We titled the book Glimpses of Heaven, because all of these sermons are about heaven. Some of them are Where Are the Dead? The Most Beautiful Sight in Heaven, a sermon, it's simply entitled Heaven, and so on. The book is a perfect bound book, 164 pages long. I wrote a foreword for the book. I hope you will read that. We made this book 4 years ago during COVID because we thought it would help people cope with everything better. Then we have 10 copies of the 4-page tract, Have You Heard? I know you will see how important this tract is, and I urge you to order more. We'll tell you how in your package. Finally, The Gospel in a Nutshell. Now, what is this? It's a CD containing 2 messages by my father preached on the radio, but not one day after the other. They were preached at 2 different times, but I had heard both of them. When I heard the second one, I went back to find the first one, and they just fit together so well. I think it really is the gospel in a nutshell. I know you will enjoy listening. So to get all 3 of these great items, just ask for Gift Offer P and send your gift of at least $20. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.